Appreciate your song, Cheryl's husband. When I heard some of you were going to engage in a white elephant this afternoon, the words of Jesus came to my mind: it is more blessed to give than to receive. You might want to keep that in mind. But seriously, that is what I want to talk about, not the elephant part, but the Jesus' words, and I thank Kevin for reading it. Because we find in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus being quoted as, "It is better or more blessed to give than to receive." That somewhat is an example of what we're told in John chapter 21, where it says there were also many other things that Jesus did, and if they wrote them all one by one, they would fill the world. The quote that we find in Acts 20:35 is not found in any of the Gospels. If it hadn't been recorded by Paul, Luke, and the Holy Spirit in Acts 20, we wouldn't have even known Jesus said it. And probably it ties in with his words, however, in Matthew chapter 25, when he says, "The king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me.'" Examples of Jesus telling us that giving is far better than receiving. Why is that? Well, it gives us an opportunity to promote the well-being of others. Ed touched on this a little bit in his thoughts on the table. It promotes the giver's well-being. It allows us to feel that we are doing something good. And of course, as we saw in Matthew 25, there is a reward for that activity. But is there a way that we could give wrongly? Absolutely. We could give out of pride. Some only want to give, some only want to receive. But I'd like to look at that phrase, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," maybe by somewhat turning it upside down. Not undoing it, because Christ said it, that's the end of discussion, it's true. But I think there's an aspect to that activity that's important for us to consider. Maybe we should think of it, it's better to give and receive. You ever tried to help somebody that didn't want help? One of the most frustrating things you can engage in fact, I will say it's almost impossible to help somebody that doesn't want help or won't accept it. But you know, when we don't receive, could we be depriving others of the opportunity to give? Because you can't have a giver if there's no receiver. You can have an offerer of something, but unless someone will receive it, you're not giving. I'm not giving. And to give is maybe our ultimate in being God-like. But also maybe is receiving. What are the hardest words for you and I to say in general? Well, I don't know. It might vary with us as individuals, but maybe phrases like, "I'm sorry," "forgive me," those are sometimes hard for us to express. But I think right along with them, for many of us, would be the words, "I need help." Most of us were raised or taught that we need to help people. And that's a good thing to be raised and taught. The Bible teaches that. But what about when we're the ones that need the help? Maya Angelou, and there's many philosophical or religious things that she would believe that I would disagree with, made this statement that I thought was good. She said, when we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. Now notice what she did in that sentence. She tied blessings both to the cheerful giver, but also to the grateful receiver. Theologians would call that the dynamic exchange, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But can one give if nobody will receive? And if I refuse to receive help, am I depriving you and my brothers and sisters of giving? Giving rightly certainly generates positive feelings, emotions, and gratitude for both the giver and the receiver, making it one of the most important exchanges you and I can participate in or experience. And yes, the act of giving is better. Jesus said it. I can't argue that. It helps us maybe corral our selfishness, our narcissism. Maybe it helps promote the well-being of others. And there is a reward for those who give. However, giving with wrong motive is, of course, not better, nor is it blessed. We could give to kind of show that we're superior. We've got more than somebody else. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns us about giving to impress people. And we've probably seen people give, trying to impress others that they have more or are more generous. I believe to better understand giving, it is necessary that we understand the importance of receiving. And I'm going to submit for you and I assembled here this morning, receiving is often harder for us than giving. I think the majority of us, if not all of us, assembled here this morning, are more comfortable being the giver than the receiver. But why is that? The action of giving and receiving have a powerful impact on our relationships, not only with one another, but even with ourselves. I believe giving and receiving are in a key sense equally or both important. They're critical. But as we examine ourselves, we may have to come to the realization that we are far more comfortable giving than receiving. So I ask all of us just a couple of questions here. Are you and I one of those empathetic people who is naturally a giver, a doer, and a caretaker? How do we react to receiving compliments? Is it with ease and gratitude, or do you get the urge to deflect and minimize the praise? What's your history? What's mine? What's our tendency? Is giving and receiving linear, or is it cyclic? I believe it's cyclic. And what I mean by that is we have a giver and we have a receiver and something transfers in this direction. But I don't think it stops there. Because I think if we are grateful receivers, that gives something back to the giver. So we have a giver and a receiver, but the receiver, if he does it gratefully, also becomes a giver in his gratitude and in his attitude. Ideally, this dynamic exchange of giving and receiving is balanced and effortless. But I suspect that it's often not balanced, nor is it effortless. And when we struggle with either, it's worth examining why. And as I said, I suspect many of us, maybe all of us, struggle more with being a godly receiver than we do with being godly givers. We were taught, most of us from childhood, that giving is a virtue, which it is. Growing up, we were taught to give. Parents, friends, church taught us that. And the Bible strongly supports the importance of giving. But it has to be righteous giving, the result of kindness, not of guilt, the result of sharing and not to impress. To give from a place of love, 1 Corinthians 13. To give without expecting anything in return. Selfless. I remember being told one time that you can tell a lot about a person by how he treats people that can do him absolutely no good. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. In Acts 20 and 35 that Kevin read for us a few minutes ago, Jesus does not say it's not blessed to receive. He simply says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But he doesn't discount there's a blessedness in godly receiving. And godly receiving, I believe, is very important and probably needs our attention to some extent. Because they have to work in balance. And they become that dynamic exchange. You know, we are part of God's creation. And God's creation works in nature in this very same way. Right now, you and I are receiving the gift of oxygen. And as we exhale, we are giving off carbon dioxide, which allows all of the plants around us to grow. And what do? They give off oxygen that we need. A dynamic exchange. Is it wonderful that we give the plants carbon dioxide? Sure, but is it any less wonderful that the plants give us oxygen? No. Insects receive nectar from flowers and then give the gift of pollinization. Symbiotic relationships all throughout nature are abundant and essential. And God set up His creation that way, and I think He set it up spiritually that way also. So when we come back to the concept of giving and receiving, one can't happen without the other. They're both aspects of the same powerful exchange. And since we are part of God's creation and part of God's nature, we find ourselves in this cycle. Last year I talked on some of the lies we tell ourselves. But I think one of those lies that wasn't included in that lesson, but one of the lies I would add to that is the lie, I can do it on my own. I believe that's a lie. I can't do it on my own and you can't do it on your own. Ed didn't use those words, but he talked about how he was glad to be part of the family. Why? Because we need one another's help. We're not always the giver. Sometimes we need to be the receiver. In James chapter 5, verse 16, I call that the we verse. Confess your faults one to another. Why? Share your lives one with another. Giving encouragement, but also sometimes needing to receive encouragement. I've kind of lost track of field and track. I used to follow it a little bit more when I was younger, but I don't know what the world's record for a high jumper is. But I would guess it's somewhere around 6 or 7 feet. Maybe it's 8. Can't imagine someone jumping that high or over something that high. But what's the world's record for pole vaulting? 20 feet? Is the pole vaulter a better athlete than the high jumper? No. But the pole vaulter has a pole to help him over. What heights maybe you and I could achieve if we accepted and received help more graciously, less defensively. Back in Exodus 17, pardon me, Moses finds himself, or the Israelites find themselves in some battle, and as long as Moses holds his arms up, the Israelites win. The battle went on for quite some time. Moses' arms got weary. What if Moses had said, I can do it on my own, and his arms begin to sink? The Israelites would have lost the battle. But rather than that, he calls help and has two individuals on each side to hold his arms up, because he couldn't do it all on his own. Giving can inspire change and healing and carry us to a state of selflessness. Giving and receiving moves us toward connections, small ways to strengthen the flow of giving in our lives. How do we receive something as simple as the compliment of a stranger? How often do we say, I'll pray for them, and then we really kind of lose track of that pledge? To give a hug, to say thank you, to send an anonymous gift of whatever. If you've ever received, and probably in some fashion you have, an anonymous gift from somebody, when you really needed some help, maybe it was money, maybe it was help on a chore, you may never know who sent it, but you don't forget that if you're a grateful receiver. You find yourself blessed to be receiving any of these and accept it with a sense of gratitude, honor, and appreciation. And in this way, both the giver and the receiver are blessed. I'd like to consider a couple of examples that Paul gives us in this regard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, I'm going to begin reading with verse 3, 2 Corinthians 8, 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, implored us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now, as we look at various aspects of Paul's life, he seems to be one who maybe struggled with receiving a little bit. And I admire him for that. He'd build tents to support himself. But notice in the fourth verse he says, there was an urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship. He ties the receiving of a gift, whatever it was, with the fellowship. When we give and receive as we should, there are strengths in our bonds. We become closer together, not simply by giving, but also being willing to receive. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writes, I'll begin again with verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. I'm sure Paul appreciated it. I don't question that he really had a need for it. But he says, not that I sought the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What's Paul saying there? I believe he's saying he needed to receive in order that they could have the blessing of giving and that be added to their account. Paul could have said, no, I'll build three more tents this week. I don't need help. Or whatever his need was. He had already said he had learned how to be content whether he abounded or whether he lacked. But he says here, I need to accept, receive help so that fruit can abound to your account. That's that dynamic exchange. That's that cyclic exchange. Why is receiving for many of us harder than giving? I find that a curious thought. I share it, and it is for me. But many times we view giving as more noble than receiving. I'm not sure that's true, if we do it in a godly fashion. Protecting us from the monsters of self-centeredness and narcissism, giving can do that. But maybe receiving can protect us from the monsters of pride and not being willing to accept that we need help. I jotted down three or four things that maybe cause us to struggle with receiving. Maybe for some of us it's a defense or fear of intimacy. When you are a receiver of a gift or of a kindness or of help, there is an intimacy between you and the giver that forms. I think that's a wonderful thing, but I think for many times, some of us, it's a scary thing. The fear of getting too close to others can cause us to try to avoid connecting with others. I don't think that's the only reason, but I think that's one reason some people gravitate toward big churches, where you can come in and out and never have to really make a connection with anybody. You can't do that here. Well, I guess you could sit on the front, on the back row and leave during the invitation song. I always enjoyed watching Brother Wendell Sparks. He would sit right up here in the first couple of rows. And he'd always go out this door, and I wondered, why is he going out that door? There's no restrooms out there. He was heading for the parking lot because he knew there were people he would not be able to make contact with if he didn't beat them to the parking lot. Sometimes I think maybe we struggle with receiving because we feel like there's a loss of control. Giving tend to give us the feeling that we're in control. Receiving genders up for some of us maybe a sense that we're dependent on somebody or something else. And that's not comfortable for us. Number three, I think sometimes we have the fear of obligation. Well, if I accept this, be it help or whatever, there could be strings attached. And now I'm going to owe them. I am persuaded that there are some people that don't want to have other people, that don't want to be invited to other people's homes for fear that then they're going to be expected to have them come back. And you say, well, we don't think that way, but yeah, we kind of do. How many times have you found yourself, well, now, did we go over there last or did they come over here last? Whose turn is it? Who cares whose turn it is? And also, sometimes I think there's the feeling that receiving is selfish. And we think we must be givers. And we've all seen receiving abused. We've all seen people take advantage of always wanting to be the receiver and never the giver, although I think that's really impossible in a godly sense. But when we need help, receiving is not selfish, it's simply smart. And yet there's sometimes something in us that keeps us from accepting that or allowing that. You might meet somebody and say, can I help you with that? And oftentimes the response is, no, I've got it. You know, it's kind of good to say, yeah, I'll take it. I remember this happened a couple of years ago with my boys, and we were traveling somewhere. We were at an airport, and you know, the carousel, and you go get your, well, you hope you go get your suitcases. And I remember one of them said, you sit here, I'll go get your suitcase. And I was up like a flash. I said, nope, I'm going to go get my suitcase. And I did. About a year later, I found myself in that same state, and he said, I'll go get your suitcase. And I just sat down and said, go get it. Sounds good to me. And that allowed him to serve. I don't know if that was his intent. By receiving with gratitude, we allow ourselves to be touched by life's blessings. Letting others receive deeply and graciously results in the gift of the giver. See, giving and receiving are really two sides of the same coin of intimacy. Because when you receive, if you do it in a godly way, you are also giving to the giver. Giving and receiving are actually two sides of the same coin of intimacy, allowing us to bask together in a moment in which there is no real distinction between the giver and the receiver. Because when you give, you receive, and when you receive, you give. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, when the church was just being established, the church came together and they shared things. What's that mean? Some gave, some received. And maybe in other areas, some received and some gave. There was this exchange, this equality. Godly giving is certainly a wonderful blessing, but for there to be a giver, there must also be a receiver. That's my point. And yet, gracious acceptance is an art in which many never bother to cultivate, depriving themselves of help, but also depriving the giver of the chance to give. I know full well how uncomfortable receiving can be. We all probably struggle with it in some way. But I believe it's something that Paul had to learn. And something we may also have to learn. I close with just a couple of comments. Blessed are those who give without remembering. And blessed are those who receive without forgetting. One of the keys of a successful family is simply being there, one for another. And again, Ed touched on that. I thought he did a nice job with that. But that requires not simply helping. It also requires receiving. And while I disagree with many of her thoughts, Maya Angelou, I believe, captured a thought when she said, when we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. So as we enter into the invitation, this is really an invitation about giving and receiving, isn't it? God gave His Son so that we could receive eternal life. There would be no salvation without His giving. But neither is there any salvation for us if there is no receiving and no accepting. Most of us have probably played checkers sometime in our life. Some of you a lot and some of you not very often. But if you've ever looked at a checker, they always have one thing on top. It's a crown. Because one of the purposes of checkers is to get your checker to the destination so that it can be crowned. That's what all of us are involved in right now. Taking our lives to its proper destination so that we can be crowned and be part of the kingdom. We close our thoughts. Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive, or Jesus wouldn't have said it. But let's not forget the importance of being a grateful receiver so that others can be blessed. And then we kind of take turns. Sometimes we're the encourager, sometimes they're the encourager. It doesn't really matter. We're not keeping score. We're functioning as a family. So when we need help, and someone offers us help in some way, maybe the best response isn't, no, I don't need it. Maybe the best response is a simple, thank you. If we can help anybody in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.